Hey guys, welcome to a special episode of Worthy Now. Today I'm going to be discussing the rise and fall of Psycho Music. Psycho Music was a record label founded by British entrepreneur and record executive Simon Cowell. Originally founded as S Records, the label launched while Cowell was still employed by BMG. The label oversaw music releases by Robson and Jerome, 5, Westlife, and Teletubbies. A year later, BMG, now named Sony BMG, brought Cowell's share in both Psycho Music and Psycho Television. Later in 2010, Cowell and Sony Music entered a joint venture agreement that will see Cowell and Sony each own 50% of the new Psycho Entertainment Company, which encompassed both the previous Psycho TV and Psycho Music divisions. In July 2020, Sony sold the rights to the television formats and assets back to Cowell, effectively divesting all of Psycho's non-music divisions. As part of the venture, Psycho Music is current roster and back catalog remain with Sony Music as a wholly owned subsidiary. However, as of September 2020, and according to industry magazine Music Week, the label is now defunct, with staff either leaving or being redeployed elsewhere within the Sony Music group. Psycho Music has offices in London and Los Angeles, and is home to several artists. As S Records, the company oversaw music releases by Robson and Jerome, 5, Westlife, and Teletubbies. Later following television franchises, Psycho had the exclusive right to sign winners and finalists of The X Factor and Britain's Got Talent, and America's Got Talent, to mention. Susan Boyle's debut album, I Dream a Dream, has sold over 9 million copies, making it one of the best-selling releases of the last decade and Psycho's most successful release to date. Between 2004 and 2009, Il Divo achieved 4 multi-million selling albums, and in 2007, Leon Lewis became one of the most successful talent show winners when her second single, Bleeding Love, propelled the album Spirit to 9 million global sales. In 2010, Psycho began diversifying by adding producer/singer-songwriter Leah Braniff. Simon Kotecha, who had been writing for Psycho X for several years, also became an A&R director and set up a joint venture, Kanani Songs. Psycho also began forming closer partnerships with other Sony Music Entertainment UK labels. For the first time, Psycho entered into an agreement with Columbia Records that would see them work together to launch the career of an X Factor winner, Matt Cardle. That same year, Sony Music brought Cowell's share of Psycho for around £27 million. On July 15, 2020, it was announced that Cowell will buy Sony's stake in Psycho Entertainment. Sony Music will retain Psycho's music artists and back catalog. By September 2020, managing director Tyler Brown and head of digital Tom Hoare had left. Music Week reported that the label is no longer operational and is now defunct. Artist staff have been redeployed elsewhere within Sony Music, including at sister label RCA Records, or have left completely. Psycho Music and its artists have been the targets of illegal hacking on several separate occasions. In 2009, ahead of the release of Leona Lewis' second album, Echo, a number of unfinished demos and leftover songs for the project leaked online. An investigation was launched by the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry, IFPI, working with the record label and police to identify those responsible. Alexandra Burke was also targeted. Having 2 demo versions of songs for her debut album overcome leak before the album's release. At the end of March 2010, it was reported that Psycho has suffered once again from computer hackers who managed to obtain 14 of Burke's previously on her studio recordings, as well as 26 from Lewis. Following the second incident of leaks, Cowell contacted the FBI to track down those responsible. Included in the leaks was a newly recorded version of Burke's All Night Long featuring American rapper Pitbull, which was tipped to be the singer's third single in March 2010. According to Burke, the songs were leaked by two little boys in Germany on work experience working for Syco. It was later revealed in 2011 that the songs recorded for Echo were targeted by the German hacker Denise A, also known as DJ Stolen. In July 2010, the Rush law firm lodged a criminal complaint against DJ Stolen for constantly placing hacked songs on the internet. Amongst those songs listed in the complaint was one called Pulse, described at the time as a new recording by Lewis. DJ Stolen was jailed for 18 months in June 2011. In 2011, Syco found itself being taken to court for plagiarism, as it was reported that a new Lewis song, Collide, significantly copied Fade to Darkness, a 2010 song written and released by Swedish house music DJ Avicii. The DJ took both artists and label to the British High Court just prior to its release. However, the case was resolved out of court by releasing the song as a joint single between both artists on September 4, 2011. In February 2013, it was announced that One Direction would be releasing a cover version of One Way or Another by Teenage Kicks as the 2013 Comic Relief single. However, an unfinished version of the song leaked online, and on February 7, 2013, Syco launched an investigation. A spokesperson told the press, "It is very disappointing that the song has been leaked, and we are currently investigating the matter." And this is where the drama begins. Syco Music has had history of mistreating their artists in the past. So, this is going to be long because I got a lot to say. So, I hope you guys see your teas ready, because the tea I'm about to tell y'all is smoking hot. Rebecca Ferguson found fame when she came runner-up on the 2010 season of The X Factor, signing a record deal with Syco and Epic Records at the time, and later Columbia Records in the US, but has refused to name who her oppressors were. "I am exercising my human right to freedom of speech and freedom of expression," she wrote. "I write this as a statement of truth, and I do so as I believe in justice, truth, and I dislike any abuse of power or any system that does not offer equality. On the surface, my career would appear to have been at times a dream come true. However, the reality of the abuses I have suffered behind the scenes is a completely different tale, and one of abuse, bully, and the total misuse of power." The 1,600-word statement went on to claim that she faced racial abuse and poor treatment that left her so ill that she collapsed on stage. "The oppression had reached its absolute worst when I was called and told I had to do something that compromised my integrity. I was requested to do a gig and told they want you because you're a black face," she wrote. On a separate occasion, it was said by the same person at an event in London, "Black people are only good for entertaining and running, and not for sitting as CEOs of companies." She continued, "Things got worse, and over this period, I became very ill. I had a physical collapse, and medical staff told me, 'Your body has given up.' I then went on to have tests that show I had precancerous cells. I collapsed 3 times and started to see and feel myself lose who I was, but still, I felt I had to smile in interviews to maintain how amazing my life was, but in actual reality, I was unhappy." Former X Factor star Cher Lloyd has hit out at music mogul Simon Cowell, saying she couldn't handle the level of control. It looks like the relationship turned sour after the singer refused to give Simon's label, Syco, complete control over her career. Explaining the reasons behind the split, the Want You Back singer said, "I don't really speak to him anymore. I left his label a year and a half ago, and I got my record deal here in America. Speaking to Larry King on his U.S. chat show, she added, "We all have a specific thing in life that we want to get to, and I don't deal very well with people having control. I think he found me, I wouldn't say disobedient, but a little bit difficult." But the singer, who finished fourth in the 7th series of the X Factor UK, was adamant. She wasn't angry about the move. "I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't say angry. I would like to think he misses me now. Cher is now working with LA Reid in America. It's not the first time Cher had a public spat with one of the X Factor judges. Back in March 2012, Cher criticized her former X Factor mentor Cheryl Cole for allegedly not seeing live during her performances. When asked on Real Radio Northwest if she would ever duet with Cheryl, the then 18-year-old said, "Maybe if she sings live with me. It's always a challenge nowadays when you haven't got that nifty little button to press." Cheryl later took to Twitter in an apparent attempt to reply to her former mentee, saying, "Be careful who you kick on your way up. They kick you twice as hard on your way back down. Hashtag unappreciation is ugly." Cher later apologized to the singer on television, and nothing more is heard about the argument. Leon Lewis has criticized the record label and says she won't be censoring any of her material now that she has signed to Island Records. In an online video, she claims she felt taken advantage of as Psycho and won't be holding back when it comes to slamming her former colleagues on her new album. She added, "A lot of people were telling me how to be, how to act, and what to say. No one is one-dimensional. I'm going to say whatever it is I want to say. I'm not going to compromise myself anymore. I'm not going to censor myself." Some of the lyrics on her new tracks also suggest her relationship with Cal's label was dysfunctional. In the song "I Am" features the lyrics, "I am brave without you. I am somebody without you. I am free without you. I am strong without you." While on fire, she refers to drowning in quicksand, singing, "I'm set free, I began to spread my wings, I'm happy, and I've earned it." Last week, the singer took to Instagram to share a new clip of the new track. Leona won the 3rd series of The X Factor 2006. In August 2014, she announced her split for Simon Cowell's Cycle label and a new deal with Universal's Island Records. Following the exit, Lewis penned an open letter to her fans detailing the creative differences that led to her decision. "At some points, I felt extremely depressed and other times experienced amazing highs. But I got to a place where the downs were outweighing the ups. So I'm writing this letter for anyone who has ever felt the same way. After several years, I thought about leaving over and over again. I was terrified walking away from a somewhat secure relationship, even though I knew that we were no longer right for each other, and at times, even bad for each other. However, I clung to the safety net I had grown so attached to. One day, everything changed. For my 5th album, I was asked to make a record that would not have been true to myself. By all means, as an artist in this climate, I was thankful to even get the chance to make another record, but I cannot make music that does not speak to my soul. As scary as it seemed, I could no longer compromise myself, so I decided to leave." One Direction is, till this day, the biggest boy band on earth. But behind the scenes, there was a lot of tension going on within the group. This is what Dan Wooten of The Sun had to say. "The tight-knit team around the world's biggest band have been able to keep a lid on the tensions and personal animosities within 1D for the last 3 years, but only just plucked from obscurity on The X Factor in 2010 and forced to work together. Liam Payne, Harry Styles, Niall Horan, Louis Thompson, and now departed Zayn Malik were briefly the best of friends, striving towards the common goal of becoming incredibly famous and even more rich. From day one, I've been there to watch Wendy's international success from behind the scenes. See firsthand how egos, temptations, and a billion-pound business change five ordinary young men with stars in their eyes. The biggest issues in the band can be traced back over 3 years to an irreconcilable falling out between the most influential members, heartthrob Harry and highly ambitious Lily. While my bizarre column has touched on the tension between the pair, the ferocity of their dislike has not been revealed until today. The duo spent their first year of Wendy's success with What Makes You Beautiful made them instant teen heartthrobs around the globe, living together in a rented £3 million North London flat. But by the start of 2012, they had abruptly moved out. Their best friendship was over, leaving them barely able to talk to each other unless for work purposes or in public. A source close to the band revealed, apart from Harry and Louis, no one knows exactly what caused the falling out. They didn't even tell the other boys the full details, but it was very serious and their friendship has never recovered. Everyone involved in the band is well aware of the animosity between them. It's been central to everything else that came next with the band because there was suddenly a massive divide. Ironically, a group of 1D fans around the globe passionately believed in Larry Solison. If you don't know, that's Louis and Harry. There's a lot of fan fictions about them, a lot of edits about them. Anyway, let's get back. The idea that Louis and Harry are in a secret gay relationship. They claim that everyone from Cowell to the band's management company, Modest, and publicist, HJPR, to journalists like me, have been part of a giant cover-up of the romance. Given Louis and Harry spent a long time unable to even fly in the same private jet because of the hatred between them, that's a laughable notion. And Nia's gang and 1D Inside app, when the guys started making enough money, Harry insisted there were always two modes of transport, even when it came to private jets. The official reason was given that Harry did like the fact Louis, Liam, Zane smoked on board, but it was something much more personal. For the making of the last three albums, they never spent any time together in the studio as a band. That's quite an extraordinary situation. But their team knew the less time Harry and Louis spent together, the better the chances 1D would stay together. The division resulted in Harry, an international superstar, following his high-profile romance with Taylor Swift late in 2012, created a new social circle featuring many of the entertainment industry's top movers and shakers. His close friends include Irving Azoff, the highly regarded U.S. music manager, who's been informally advising Harry on his future career, and one of Harry's closest mates, Radio 1 DJ X-Factor judge Nick Grimshaw, is also believed to have issues with Louis. In the last 2 years, every decision Harry's made is also with thought about life after 1D and becoming a massive star in his own right. But he's always played it very carefully, as he never wanted to be the man who broke up the band. Meanwhile, Louis took control of 1D, making himself the band's official or unofficial leader. Making himself the band's unofficial leader and regularly going to battle with their management and record company. A source at Music Giant Sunny said, "Frankly, Louis is a little beep who's managed to annoy a lot of people over the last couple of years. He made some ridiculous decisions like refusing to let 1D perform at the Brit Awards because they wanted more time off. But he's played a clever game as he surely knows he's not the most talented member and doesn't have a strong singing voice. So has set himself up as the business brains. He even managed to convince Cowell to give him his own record label as Cycle to keep him happy. Then, by the start of 2014, the band was struggling to cope with the intensity of their superstar, and things started to unravel as a result of their relentless touring schedule. Drug use by Zayn, film Smokey, and joined on tour in South America, and by Louis, also caused division within the band. Emotionally volatile, Liam drinking and partying was out of control, something he has now admitted that caused further strains on the band, as he has regularly questioned if he wants to stay in the public eye. Harry would no longer go out with his bandmates to social events unless hanging out with Niall, who was the unofficial peacekeeper of One Direction. I joined the band Bogota, Colombia, as they launched their world tour, and it was obvious they was unhappy, barely uttering a word to his bandmates or Wendy's team. But the tour was highly lucrative, and the band's money man appeared desperate to keep them performing to sold-out stadiums across the globe, putting them under further pressure by allowing them to record while on the road. By this point, they were each worth £25 million and financially set for life. A music source said it was relentless and asking for trouble. These guys were on treadmill. They simply stopped enjoying it, but were making too much money for anything to be done. Back at the historic Band A recording last November, the group looked miserable, with Harry hanging out with pals Grimmy and Ed Sheeran rather than the bandmates. Zayn eventually had enough. Amid rumors of physical confrontations backstage, he initially refused to travel to the US in the same out to promote their fourth album, with US TV host Matt Lauer going public with rumors of substance abuse. He reluctantly rejoined the band, but 4 months later quit for good as he reacted against further revelations that he had cheated on that fiance, Perry Edwards, a Lil Mix, another Cal creation. Their dream was over as fans learned for the first time that some members of 1D had gone from best mates to mere associates. A band insider said the other four have hardly spoken to Zayn since he left. Louis won't forgive him for leaving. Liam and Louis are the only real friends left in the band. Niall likes everyone as part of his happy-go-lucky persona. I've since learned Zayn is furious with the handling of his departure and believes he was seen as the fall guy for wire issues within 1D. The source says Zayn didn't want to be part of the 1D machine anymore. He's furious with the campaign the band's team conducted because all he was doing was standing up for himself musically. He wanted the band to be real artists, not just money makers. The other band members were angry with Zayn because he had gone against their secret plan to make 5 albums, release a greatest hits collection, and then split for a period to work on solo projects. The band insider said the others knew that Zayn would have had a head start by leaving first, like Robbie Williams did when he quit Take That. It was frustrating to them as Zayn only had to hang on in there a few months and 1D would have gone on their long break united. 1D's tour, The Uninspiringly Tile on the Road Again, will end with Whimper Tonight in Yorkshire. Band stars have told me that Liam Payne is at breaking point due to the relentless schedule, with a backstage meltdown causing the cancellation of gig in Belfast earlier this month. As he vows to save his relationship with then-girlfriend Sophia Smith, Liam had also pulled out of the Attitude Awards hours before being due to accept a gong. He blamed sickness, but he was spotted later that night in a local supermarket. While Liam wants time out in the spotlight, Niall is desperate to continue working, but industry insiders doubt where his singing voice is strong enough to launch a sustainable solo career. I was shocked at 1D's final day at the London's O2 Arena to see the band seemingly going through the motions. They perform as 4 individuals, not as a record-breaking group with millions of fans. It's hardly surprising that ticket sales are believed to have slowed, only picking up after I broke the story of the band's break in the artists. August, I mean. I've learned there are tensions about when Wendy will begin their break. Harry wants them to start the highest translation, a break that will become permanent if he is a solo success by Christmas time. Louis is keen to continue on to next year's Brit Awards. When they source told me, the band was furious with you for revealing the break as they didn't want it to become a big deal. But the reality is, they are split for a long time. Sure, they might get back together if things don't work out for them individually, but that's unlikely because the view is that Harry will become a massive star. These days, no band wants to officially split because it costs them commercially. By going on break, they'll still be able to keep selling merchandise. In fact, I'm told Sonny Boss's top priority is securing Harry to turn it into a solo superstar. But dad-to-be Louis intends to stay in the spotlight by Gangnam, whose coming cycle has made more than £100 million from the band to agree to make him a judge on the X Factor next year. That means the battle for power and influence between 1D's former best friends will continue for another chapter. A spokesman for Sunny said, "Our priority is to make sure One Direction's forthcoming album Made the Unknown is successful as possible." Can we just mention that One Direction were overworked? Tons of concerts, interviews, TV appearances, album releases, acoustic releases, and not to mention 1D Day. If you haven't seen videos of the last year concerts, they were over it, completely drained. Like, this is very sad. Those boys deserve better. They did not deserve to be treated like this. This is a common reason to why Lil Mix is mistreated. Since the time they were with Psycho, they've been badly promoted, and I can actually point out that RCA isn't much better with their promotion. You know Capital FM promotes them even more, and they're not even a record label. I think the one time that I felt Lil Mix was promoted the most was in their Glory Days era. For one Shout Out To My Ex was released, they even got a documentary. In their DNA Salute Get Weird eras, I feel like the promotion had a limitation. Like, promoting the new songs for a couple of times didn't stop. This is the reason not everybody knows who Lil Mix are. They're being described as the world's biggest girl group, yet they're not treated like it. LM5's promotion was legit trash, though this was when they chased RCA, and that's why the Joan of Arc music video was released, but just a couple of snippets of the video. I know the girls literally try their best to promote themselves, especially Jade. I know the girls feel like they're being barely promoted at all. So now, Confetti is released and we already got a breakup song, The Ultimate Bob with the AIDS vibe to it. And then the promotion for Bus was decent, but it stopped after a couple of weeks. I feel like if Lil Mix got more promoted, they would get the views, support, opportunities, etc. that they deserve. So regarding their lack of streams when it comes to their music and lack of views on their music videos, I don't know if we should fully blame their label, because when it comes to views case, is on YouTube or BitTube. And streams, I guess, Mixers should stream more? I have no clue. Anyhow, since I have no real idea on why there is lack of streams, I'll only talk about the lack of views. So, have some of you realized that their recent videos have been released the same day another artist have released theirs? Like, I know they released a music video at the same day Dua Lipa released hers. And guess who got more views? Dua. We all know that the YouTube companies as a whole is pretty trash and manipulative. I've seen with my own eyes that the Wasabi music video had more views at one point than the day after it had less. YouTube sold views. I don't want to compare groups because I love both of these equally, But YouTube did steal Blackpink's views from their recent release, How You Like That, and they got 200 million plus views. What does Little Mix have? What, like, about 63 million views? They deserve to have more views than that, but again, it's probably because YouTube stealed the views or the fandom is truly decreasing. But the amount of sexism the girls get is disgusting. Just because of their sage outfits, even ever thought of how hot it gets dancing at all? Especially when it comes to their dance breaks, plus themselves has said it's nothing wrong with showing skin just because they're women. Most of these comments have been put out by men and women, of course. Like a former member of the Spice Girls said, the outfits were okay that they wore for One Love as chest of performance wings, which she should talk because the Spice Girls wore a lot of revealing clothes back in their days. However, Lil Mix are being called. There's cussing. I'm just beep. Just for their stage outfits is rude and disrespectful. There have been so many times that the males have had no shirt on for their performance, but they get praised. Let the girls wear what they want. Plus, it's not even every single performance they wore revealing clothing. They wore dresses and just normal clothing as well. Seriously, this is a group of four, not two or one. When it comes to which member is underage or overage, should even be relevant, but it's obvious who gets treated the best out of all of them. Not who gets the most opportunities, but amount of love or praise. And that's Perry Edwards. Though we cannot blame Perry for it. She's being the member who is the most mixer's favorite, and even the non-mixers. I do not want to go on about who's the most underrated because the most mistreated one is Lee Ann. And she recently spoke about it regarding the BLM movement, that she always felt invisible and that barely anybody cheered for her during the performances or fans cheering for her in general. She's also got horrible racist comments. All the members have been badly treated in though at one point, like Jessie's bully when it comes to her body and looks, Jay for supporting the LGBTQ community, Perry B was in a couple of years ago, and Leanne B treated as if she's invisible and racist. Just treat them all with love. Because it's not like normal high budget, Little Mix music videos we used to see. Ever thought of what's going on in the world right now? Sure, TOIBM was made last year in December, but it's truly a cozy music video. Wasabi music video was released in March, which is during the pandemic, and the same with Breakup Song. Both of those music videos were made and released during the pandemic that's still going on. I couldn't imagine if there wasn't one music video would be made like they usually are made. We all know that for sure, but why aren't these mixers who complain just happy with what we get? Be happy for the girls and be happy that the girls try their best with releasing content for us during the hard times. They're almost done. They're done with Confetti, and I suspect the album's already released. I'm just glad that we're getting the content. Even though there's lockdowns, we all know the girls miss each other a lot, and this is the longest they've been apart from each other. In 2012, a new singing group formed on the second season of The X Factor USA. Forged in the furnace of a televised talent competition, Fifth Harmony attempted to fill the Spice Girls-sized girl group void to decidedly meh results. In the musical landscape of interchangeable teenagers and endless electronic noise, Fifth Harmony actually sticks out as one of the most formulaic, least distinctive fivesomes out there. With the correct number of women and the requisite amount of diversity, Fifth Harmony did explode onto the sea so much as they orbited around it. Backed by an allegedly passionate fan base that I can neither confirm nor deny. technically, they weren't even that popular. The group did achieve a top 10 single on the Billboard charts until Work From Home, a song that was people thought about freelancing, but it's actually about sexual intercourse. Ironically, the women behind this ode to half employment are actually accused victims of late-stage capitalism. On Tuesday, a tape leak that appeared to feature Lauren Jarugi, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, y'all, complained to fellow harmonizer Ali Brooke Hernandez. "They are making decisions on a regular basis to F us over, to make us literal slaves, like literally slaves," Ali says the voice, which sounds like Laura. In the background, Ali can be heard comforting her friend, repeating the phrase "I know" over and over again. This isn't the first time Jarugi and her bandmates have voiced concerns over their demanding schedules. Over the past few months, the group has canceled multiple concerts after members appeared to break down on stage. Jarugi recently started crying during a concert later, offering the bland explanation that the lyrics made her extra emotional. But just how stressful is this job? Apparently freaking stressful. In a newly relevant May Billboard interview, the girls expressed some pretty valid concerns with the industry. "They sell you this present rainbow's butterflies, and as a 16-year-old, that's what I thought," Jarugi told the magazine. "It's why I did X Factor and why I ended up in the group. And then you're working so hard, so young. Meanwhile, my friends are in college telling me about their days and what they're saying. You're having to put on a smile on a red carpet. It's like, who am I? Am I for myself or for this?" Fellow group member Dina Jane Hansen agreed that the group's grueling touring schedule was highly unchill. "I love touring, but the schedule traumatized me," Hansen admitted. "I was like, what kind of job are you doing? I watched my great-grandma be buried on FaceTime. We're also family-oriented. We lost all people on the road. Far be it from me to question Simon Cowell's management style, but being forced to Skype into a loved one's funeral seems highly abnormal. Luckily, Lauren appears to have found a way to cope with the pressure pot. Like, lots of pot." Just a week before her tape hit the internet, Jarugi was busted for marijuana possession at the Washington Dulles International Airport. The singer, who was en route to a performance in Brazil, got off with citation. Her attorney told Page Six that she will address the matter appropriately through the legal system. In a rare burst of activity for the group's Googler, Fifth Harmony's biggest story this December was neither Jarugi's drug bust nor her leaked tape. Now, honor goes to Monday's announcement that Camila Cabello is abandoning ship, heading for the arguably clearer waters of her soul career. That news came courtesy of the Notes app, an unsung hero of 2016. In a lengthy missive, the remaining Fifth Harmony members shared that after 4.5 years of being together, "We have been informed via her representatives that Camila has decided to leave Fifth Harmony. We wish her well." Note the perfection of that first sentence with the soon-to-be iconic phrase "informed via her representatives." Where was this artistry in any of Fifth Harmony's singles? Explained why she left Fifth Harmony and letter she put on her Twitter back in 2018. "When I turned 15, I had the blessing of being put into a group with 4 very talented girls. We were 5 strangers that weren't even aware of each other's existence that were given a shot at one dream together. It's been almost 5 years and the most important chapter of my life thus far. I am so proud of everything we achieved together as a group, and will always be proud of being a part of it. I was shocked to read the statement the Fifth Harmony account posted without my knowing. The girls were aware of my feelings through the long, much-needed conversations about the future that we had during tour. Seeing that they were just informed, though, my representatives that I was leaving the group is simply not true. Just like the other girl said in their statement about their plans, I had also planned to continue with my solo in divorce in the new year, but I did not intend to end things with Fifth Harmony this way. As sad as it is to see this chapter ending this way, I will continue to root them all as individuals and as a group. I wish nothing but the best for them, all the success in the world and true happiness. Just as I said to them during those conversations, and just like I tried to encourage you guys, I want to lead by example when I say to each of you guys to be courageous in the pursuit of what makes your heart pound and what makes you come alive with purpose. Our happiness is our own responsibility. We only have one life, and we never know how much time we really have. We don't carry money, trophies, social media, followers, fame, or success with us. We carry the memories that made us feel alive and the moments that made us fall in love with life. New chapters are scary, but confirming to what's safe and looking back with regret is even scarier. Next year, I will be working on my own music and giving you a big chunk of my heart. To our amazing fans, I will always be so thankful for the opportunities being this group has given to me. I'm even more thankful for the times that we have gone to get frozen yogurt together and talk about music, for the times we locked eyes during a lyric, for the hugs that pieces back together in both of us, for more love than I could put into words, and for showing me the way to myself. You took five ordinary girls and made their dreams come true, and together, us and you guys, we've written an amazing story of girls from all different cultures, backgrounds, colors, shapes, languages, music tastes, all going for one dream. A dream I will never forget. The memories we made together will last a lifetime. Now I gotta walk the walk. I've always encouraged you to be fearless, to live your life in the name of love, and to do what makes you happy. As scary as it is to take the leap, I am excited and full of joy because I know that no matter what happens, I am following my heart. I hope to see you on my journey. Love only, Camila. That's a sweet line. But also, she was accused of racial abuse by Normani Hamilton. It's where is unofficial or official racism is not okay. Alright guys, that's all the time I got for this very special episode. I hope you enjoyed. To be honest, I'm glad that psycho music is defunct now. Are you glad? Please tell me. Like, send me some voice messages saying how you feel about psycho music being shut down. But anyway, I feel bad for all those artists under who was under that label to be treated very badly. They deserve better. Anyway, that's all the time I got. I hope you enjoy. See you later, guys.